أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب، أفلا تعقلون؟ واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. And establish regular salah and zakah, and bow down with those who bow down. Do you enjoin righteousness on people and forget to practice yourselves whilst you recite the book of Allah? Do you not understand and seek assistance of Allah through patience and through salah? And indeed it is hard, but for those who are humbly focused, those who keep in mind that they have to meet their Rabb and they have to return to him. The command of performing namaz with those who perform namaz, وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Sometimes one posture of namaz is mentioned, but the whole namaz is intended. Some places the Quran speaks about make sajda, but what it refers to is to make namaz. So one important posture is mentioned, but the entire salah is meant. The other important aspect is that Allah Ta'ala's command is to perform namaz with those who perform namaz. That is, to perform it in congregation. The hadith has emphasized the recitation or performance of namaz in congregation. La salata li jari al-masjid illa fil masjid, as the hadith says, that the one that lives around the masjid and he doesn't perform the namaz in the masjid, really he has not performed namaz. His namaz itself is not valid. A blind man asks permission from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can he perform namaz at home? Rasulullah gives him the permission and then he calls him again and asks him, but do you listen to the adhan? He says, yes. Then there is no permission for you to perform the namaz at home. Therefore the hadith says, مَنْ سَمِعَ النِّدَاءَ فَلَمْ يُجِبْ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. You hear the adhan and you don't perform the namaz in congregation, then the namaz is not valid unless a person has a genuine and valid excuse. Hence, many ulama of the opinion on account of these hadiths that the namaz performed in congregation is not just an optional thing, rather it is a wajib. Though the fatwa is that it is an emphasized sunnah, that for leaving it out, one will eventually fall into serious problems. Sunnah al-muakkada is left out continuously, then the consequences can be very serious. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that the one that intends to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow on the plains of judgment, he wishes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Islam and with Iman, then he should perform the namaz with jamaat, namaz in congregation. Because this is from amongst the emphasized ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one who leaves out salah, then he has left out, the one who leaves out salah in congregation, then he has left out the emphasized mubarak ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the one who leaves out the mubarak ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will go astray. And this namaz with congregation is so important. The person makes wuzu and proceeds to the masjid, for every step that he takes, one sin is forgiven. One reward is written to his credit, and he is elevated one rank in the state in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this for performing namaz in congregation, and then the emphasis is more upon that person who listens to the adhan and yet does not attend the jamaat in congregation. وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. The second command is directed to the Bani Israel. Do you enjoin righteousness on people and forget practicing your own selves? Whereas you read the kitab, you know the contents and the message of Allah Ta'ala, yet you enjoin the good on people and forget yourselves. Then where is your brains? Where is your senses? Do you have no understanding? This verse does not mean that a person is not practicing, that he mustn't preach. Both are obligations. Like practicing is an obligation, then preaching is also an obligation. Namaz is an obligation, then roza is also an obligation. One will not say that because he is not performing namaz, therefore what's the point in fasting? Both are separate obligations. It is not subject to practicing one. One has to practice one to be able to practice the other. So this is an unconditional obligation. Whether you do the other or not, this is an obligation on its own. But the sin becomes even more severe for that person who preaches yet doesn't practice. Because the one that preaches knows about it. When we talk about the person that knows about it, it doesn't mean that he has to be a Mawlana or an Alim. The one that knows that namaz is faraz, he knows the consequences of leaving out namaz, and yet he leaves it out in congregation, then the one that knows, he is not identical to the one that doesn't know. You know about it, and then too you leave it, then the crime becomes even more serious. But that doesn't mean that one has to practice to be able to preach. Two different obligations. Therefore, Ibrahim Nakhai rahmatullah alayhi would often say that one who says that I will first practice it, then I'll preach, then this is wrong. Because when will he find the day that he will practice on Islam complete 100%? That may take his entire life, and he won't be able to then undertake the obligation of preaching. So therefore, Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that this is a deception of shaitan. Shaitan deceives you in saying and thinking that I have to practice first, thereafter I will preach. Both are duties, and both have to be carried out independently. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. The punishment of Allah Ta'ala, many a times, the hardships and the difficulties that we go through, droughts, etc., is on account of the same fact that we don't preach. At least that person that you know or you have some influence, you should be reminding him. One is the person you have no influence, you don't know the person, you are afraid of consequences, so you don't want to preach to him. But those people you have some influence, you have clout over, you have some type of authority over, then two, you don't tell the person, and this is serious, this is severe in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it makes the punishment of Allah ta'ala general. That you know about it, and you know the person, you have an influence, you have an authority, other matters you do advise him, but why in the matters of deen you keep away from advising him? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. And seek Allah ta'ala's assistance through patience and through salah. The two great impediments in the way of the Bani Israel were the fear of their respect and their position, and the fear of their wealth going away. They were the leaders, they were the learned people amongst the Bani Israel, and when they were the learned and the influential people in the Bani Israel, then they commanded a lot of respect. And through that respect, they earned a lot of wealth as well. So they were afraid that if they are going to announce the truth, then perhaps they will lose the respect that they had over the Bani Israel, and following thereafter, they will lose their wealth. So these were the two great things that were coming on the way of the acceptance of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala shows the remedy, the cure for this, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, this fear that you've got of your respect, of your position, and the fear of going away of your wealth. And if you have this fear, and this is the thing that is stopping you from accepting the truth, then what is the treatment and what is the cure for this? So take assistance through patience and through salah. Why patience and salah? Because patience is to restrain, to remain composed, not to be spontaneous, rather to be thorough. So this is the very essence of patience. When you learn to be patient, when you learn to resist your temptations, etc., things that are desirable to you, you learn to be patient, to resist, then to succumb this problem will become easy. You want wealth because of the luxuries and the comfortable life that you want. But if you learn to restrain and resist, to give up these temptations will become easy. The same with salah, because in sabr you have to restrain and give up haram and undesirable things. And namaz, the duration of the namaz, you will leave out even permissible things. You can't eat, you can't drink, you can't walk around, you can't talk freely. So there are a lot of permissible things that you restrain yourself from in salah. So when you keep yourself in the discipline, in the training of namaz and patience, then you will be able to resist. And when you'll be able to resist, you'll be able to throw away your temptations, give away your temptations, and then for you to accept the truth will become much more easy. So Allah Ta'ala says namaz is difficult, but for those who are humbly focused, they have the humility of the heart. Humility is not just an outer expression. Rather, it comes from the calmness of the heart. The humility and the focus of the heart thereafter brings about humility in action and behavior. This humility in action and behavior is really not any, it doesn't have any significance, it doesn't have any value that you show some behavior of humility. That is not the important thing. The more important thing is what is the level of the humility at heart. So this namaz is difficult, but those who humbly focused, they are humble and they are focused. Therefore, the importance of humility in namaz, this is reported that la salata illa bi khushu'il qalb, that namaz is not valid without one being humbly focused towards namaz. So this khushu and this humble focus with humility, how does it come about? It comes with the fear. When a person has that fear and concern, when he has fear at heart, then this fear of his will translate as humility and focus. When he has the fear of heart, and he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will bring about humility, and it will bring about the calmness of the heart, it will bring about the focus of the heart, because there is a fear, now he is concerned what is going to be the consequence. But then how do you build this humility? This humility, or how do you bring about this fear? Because the fear will bring about humility, the humility will bring about khushu, and the khushu will bring about the perfection in namaz, and the perfection in namaz will stop you from all things that are undesirable. So how do you bring about this fear of Allah Ta'ala that will then translate into humility? So Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, those who keep in mind that they have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they keep in mind that they have to meet their Rabb, and they have to return to Him, and they're going to meet Him, and He's going to be rewarding them for the good that they have done. And when they are going to be returning to Him, then they have to present an account of their deeds to Him. So the one that keeps this in mind all the time, that I have to meet my Rabb at some point, and I have to render an account of my works, then he will build up khushu, humility within him, he will build up fear. When he's got fear, then the namaz will be in focus, he will do his namaz with humility and with focus, and this namaz thereafter, when it is done constantly and regularly, then this namaz will give him the assistance of Allah Ta'ala that will prevent him from all things that are undesirable, and he will be able to manage in the face of temptations and desires. May Allah give us tawfiq.